Welcome to Trial Talks, the podcast where we explore the evolving landscape of clinical trials and the innovations driving diversity and inclusion in the field. I'm your host, Sophie Tahiri, Director of Diversity Collaborations at Total Diversity Clinical Trial Management, where we work to ensure that clinical trials are accessible to all communities, with a particular focus on diversity and inclusion. Today, I'm incredibly honored to welcome Dr. Jerome Adams, former U.S. Surgeon General, to the show. Dr. Adams has been a leading advocate for public health and an influential voice in shaping policy, particularly around health equity in clinical research. Today, we'll discuss the FDA's Diversity Action Plan, the impact of the Food and Drug Omnibus Reform Act, or FDORA, and how these efforts are reshaping the landscape of clinical trials to be more inclusive. Dr. Adams, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Sophie. It's a real pleasure to be here today, and I'm really excited to discuss what is an important and timely topic.
Excellent. Let's dive right in. The FDA's Diversity Action Plan has set a new standard for ensuring that clinical trials reflect the populations they aim to serve, particularly in underrepresented communities. Dr. Adams, can you share your perspective on the importance of this plan, especially given your experience as Surgeon General?
Absolutely. The FDA's Diversity Action Plan, in my opinion, is a critical step forward in addressing health disparities. As a former Surgeon General, I've seen firsthand the gaps in healthcare access and in outcomes that exist, particularly among minority populations. I feel like the Diversity Action Plan helps ensure clinical trials are not just scientifically sound, but that they're also inclusive, which is key to producing results that benefit everyone and not just a select few. The fact is, we can't make meaningful advances in healthcare if we're not including all segments of our population in our research.
That's a very powerful point, Dr. Adams. At Total Diversity, we focus on ensuring diversity in every stage of clinical trial design and execution, from site selection to recruitment. How do you think organizations like ours can best align with the FDA's plan to push these goals forward?
Great question. You know, I often say to audiences, it starts with being intentional about diversity from the ground up, from the very beginning, and not just waiting till the end of a trial and saying, oh my gosh, we're not where we want to be, and then working backwards. Organizations like Total Diversity play a vital role, in my opinion, by actively seeking out diverse populations and working closely with community leaders to build trust from the very beginning. The FDA's plan gives you a framework, but it's up to organizations and companies to execute on it by ensuring their trial designs are flexible, that they're accessible, and that they're inclusive, again, from the very beginning. It's also about, in my opinion, creating culturally competent communication strategies so that we can engage participants more effectively.
I couldn't agree more. Another important regulatory development is the Food and Drug Omnibus Reform Act, or FDORA, which has set new expectations for including diverse populations in clinical trials. Dr. Adams, if you don't mind, could you please explain FDORA's significance to our listeners and how it builds on the FDA's Diversity Action Plan?
Sure thing, Sophie. FDORA is critical because it goes beyond guidance. It actually gives the FDA more teeth to enforce diversity in clinical trials. And that matters because we've been talking about this for decades. The Act requires sponsors to submit diversity plans early on in the trial process, which creates a new level of accountability. It's not enough to say you're going to include diverse populations. You actually need to demonstrate a concrete strategy. FDORA also highlights the importance of including not just racial and ethnic diversity, and that's often what we focus on, but there are other considerations like gender, age, and socioeconomic status. This means that organizations, both big and small, will need to be proactive moving forward in how they structure their trials to meet these guidelines and, again, prove that they're actually walking the talk.
Absolutely. And I know at Total Diversity specifically, we found that the FDORA guidelines are providing clarity on what's expected, which then helps us to structure our trials in a way that, you know, is compliant but also innovative. What advice would you give to organizations looking to adapt to these new regulations, especially those that may not have large-scale resources?
Well, this is going to be critical because many organizations are really behind on this. And my advice to everyone is that we've got to leverage partnerships. You don't need to go it alone. collaboration with advocacy groups, academic institutions, local healthcare providers, and organizations like Total Diversity can help meet diversity goals in clinical trials. Smaller organizations should also invest in technology that allows for more flexible trial design, such as decentralized trials, which can help reduce barriers to participation for underserved populations. But again, partnership is going to be key moving forward.
Absolutely. If you don't mind, I was hoping we could pivot a little bit to talking about trust in this space. You know, trust is a major issue when it comes to clinical trial participation, of course, especially in underrepresented communities. Dr. Adams, as someone who has long been a champion for public health equity, what do you think are the best strategies for building trust and encouraging participation in clinical trials?
This is something I talk about every day. Building trust starts with transparency and consistency. We need to be upfront about what clinical trials are, what they involve, and why they're important to advancing health outcomes for underrepresented communities. What do those community members get out of it? We can't just say, hey, you need to do this for the good of society, or for the good of our company or our bottom line, which is what many people will think. Engaging with community leaders and influencers who are trusted by these populations is essential. One of the biggest challenges, to kind of put it out there, is overcoming historical mistrust. And that requires long-term engagement, not just showing up when we need a participant for a study. One of my favorite sayings, and people have heard me say this over and over again, is that people need to know that you care before they care what you know. So you've got to build those relationships early on and not just show up and spout information at folks and expect you're going to be able to convince them to participate in your clinical trial when you haven't been building trust and when you haven't been showing transparency consistently over many, many weeks, months, years.
Absolutely. And I don't think you could have put it better than that. And that's something that we try to focus on at Total Diversity specifically, is establishing those long-term relationships with communities rather than those one-off interactions. We've also been exploring ways to reduce participation barriers, like providing transportation and offering multilingual materials. How important is it to address these logistical barriers in your experience?
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned two of the big ones, transportation and making sure we have multilingual materials that are appropriate for the populations that we are trying to bring into the studies. We can't expect people to participate in clinical trials if they face significant barriers to access, whether, again, it's transportation, language, or childcare. By eliminating these barriers, we show that we're committed to making participation feasible for everyone, not just those with the means to easily access the study site. Again, I said people need to know that you care before they care what you know. You're showing people that you care about them by asking about and by addressing their barriers to being able to participate in studies. Finally, offering decentralized trials, as I mentioned earlier, is a really a novel way, and I think going to be an increasingly important way to lower these barriers while keeping the trial accessible.
Absolutely. And I definitely think having the patient involvement, the participant involvement, you know, no research about us without us is a really good thing to keep in the front of your mind as well, if you're listening in. So going forward, as we look to the future, Dr. Adams, how do you see the landscape of diversity in clinical trials evolving? And what do you think the FDA's role will be in continuing to drive this change?
Well, I think we're going to see and have to see more integration of technology, particularly in the use of digital health tools and decentralized trial models, because these will broaden access to communities, to populations, to regions that previously have not had great access to clinical trials. We talked often with the Association of Diversity and Clinical Trials with international partners, places in Africa, places in South America that don't have traditional access to these trials, but who we could reach through decentralized trials. The FDA needs to continue to push for these advancements while holding organizations accountable through regulations like FDORA. Ultimately, the goal for diversity in clinical trials, at least from my standpoint, is for diversity to become the norm, not the exception, and for clinical trials to reflect the diversity of the real world. And then finally, for this to be something that is part and parcel to the trial and not just a nice to have or something that we think about on the back end.
Absolutely. And at Total, that's exactly what we're working towards, making sure that diversity isn't the afterthought. It's the foundational aspect of how the clinical trials that we do are conducted. Going from that point, what role do you think organizations like ours can play in shaping this future?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because there are many different organizations working in this space. Total Diversity is one of them, looking at it from the trial and CRO perspective. And I think organizations like Total Diversity are at the forefront of this change and need to continue to broaden their networks and partner with others so that we can learn from each other and share best practices. At Total Diversity, you're setting the standard for how clinical trials should be run and not just meeting regulatory requirements simply by checking a box. You're really striving to exceed those requirements by focusing on equity and inclusion from the very beginning. And again, that's why I very much appreciate being able to work with Total. Your work is helping to ensure that the science we produce benefits everyone, and that's going to be invaluable moving forward as we endeavor to improve health equity.
Absolutely. Dr. Adams, it's been an absolute honor to have you on Trial Talks today. Your insights into the FDA's Diversity Action Plan, Fedora, and the future of clinical trials have been incredibly valuable. At Total Diversity, we're committed to pushing this conversation forward and doing our part to make clinical trials more inclusive and equitable. But before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I just want to encourage everyone in the clinical research space to keep diversity at the forefront of what you do, to understand that it's really about producing better quality trials. This isn't just a moral imperative. If we produce a new drug or a new device, and we don't find out until 5-10 years down the road that it's not helpful in certain populations, or heaven forbid that it's actually harmful in certain populations, that's a quality issue. That's going to be a money issue. And so while to me it really is important because it's the right thing to do and because it's the moral thing to do, we really need people to think about this as critical to improving the quality of our trials moving forward. It's not just about meeting a requirement. It's about improving healthcare for us all. So, Sophie, I want to say thank you so much for having me. And thank you to Total Diversity for the work that you all are doing in this space. And I hope that we can continue to have these conversations and to bring together partners from across the spectrum who all have a different role to play, whether it's technology, whether it's community engagement, whether it's helping people put together strategic plans for conducting a specific clinical trial. It all matters, and it's going to take all of us working together to achieve the outcomes that our country, that our planet deserves.
Absolutely. It's definitely a group effort. And I just wanted to say thank you again for joining us. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Trial Talks. Be sure to subscribe for more conversations. Hopefully we'll have Dr. Adams back on here again. And we can hear more about how we can work together to make clinical trials more inclusive and reflective of the communities that we serve. Until next time, this is Trial Talks, where diversity drives discovery.
Thanks. Take care.
Thank you.